Today we want to look at the characteristics of the bride of Christ. The characteristics of the bride of Christ. When we speak of characteristics, we speak of features, qualities belonging to a particular person or to a particular place. For instance, from my little observation, one of the characteristics of a real Igbo man, is that wherever he is in the world, he doesn't forget his home. Why are my Igbo brethren not answering me? Wherever he is, let him be in Iceland, let him be in Russia, let him build a house on the North Pole. From there, he's still communicating with home. He's still sending money to the house. And if that Igbo man has not built a house in his father's, in his village, he has not arrived. That's the characteristics, one of the characteristics of an Igbo man. Are we together? So you discover that things, people, places have their characteristics. There are the characteristics of a true Lagosian. I can look at you and know that you're a JJC in Lagos. How will I know? You are going on the road and somebody met you. God bless you, sir. Good afternoon. Are you a Christian or a Muslim? If you say I'm a Christian, thank God. My name is Michael. I'm a sailor. I'm not from Nigeria. I just came from Togo. I was ship docked and I was with some people and they did this. I have some people done the protest already. You know where they are going to. You're a sailor and you're meeting me in Oshodi, under bridge. You're a sailor. Is there a seaport in Oshodi? But you now, JJC, I have so many dollars. I don't know how to change it. JJC will be rejoicing. Praise the living God. So we have characteristics of a real Lagosian. They shine their eyes. A vehicle that is not painted in yellow comes early morning or late in the night. Obalende, obalende, and you look very well. Only driver, then two men at the back. Thank you. Obalende is supposed to be 600 naira. They're telling you Obalende 150. Obalende 150. A true Lagosian will look very well. A true Lagosian will not just say, thank you, Jesus, and jump in. So people have their characteristics. There's even the characteristics of Bride Assembly Church members. The drummer is not on the seat. Jehovah Chineke. We have our signature, our dance style, brothers. When you see children church, you see the way they do it. The pioneer of that dancing style is Brother Roman. But wherever you are, we have our beats. There's a way this is my church. People have their characteristics. Places have their characteristics. The bride of Jesus Christ also have their own characteristics or has her own characteristics. When we speak of characteristics, we are talking of distinctive qualities that causes us to know that this is the bride of Christ. Why do we need to identify the characteristics of the bride of Jesus Christ? You must understand something. That our Lord Jesus Christ has many people following him. Right from the inception, the onset of his ministry. From the days that the ministry of Jesus Christ started on the shores of Galilee, it has always been multitudes following Jesus. Praise the living God. So, wherever you see Jesus, you see crowd. Jesus attracts crowd. And out of this crowd, there are a group of people that he calls the bride. There is one thing about Jesus. And we see it in John chapter 6, verse 37. If you come to him, he will never drive you away. Praise the Lord. All that the Father give me will come to me. And him that comes to me, I will no wise cast out. Brother Doze was saying something during the Sunday school. While the Sunday school teacher was teaching, Brother Doze and Brother Uche were following what the teacher was saying. That some people say, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is working for them. So Brother Doze made a statement. He said, however you come to God, that is how God will take you. And I said, yes, I agree with you. If you come to Jesus and say, I just want to bear your name, this is how I want to serve you. He will not cast you out. He will never come and tell you, stop using my name. The apostles were moving with Jesus one Saturday afternoon. And they saw somebody casting out devils in the name of Jesus. And they looked, we don't know you, you are not with us. You don't sit at the master's feet to hear his teaching. Jesus commissioned me. You, he did not commission you. Who gave you the authority? And they went to report, master, we saw somebody casting out devils in your name. And we rebuked them because they're not with us. Jesus said, don't do it. He that is not against us is for us. He didn't say he's with us. He said it's for us. So Jesus will never chase you away if you come to him. If you come to Jesus and decide to serve Amadi or Ah, you are very welcome. It's a fact. If you come to Jesus and you want to continue worshiping voodoo, he will take you as you are. But of all the people that come to him, he has the people he calls the bride. Somebody shout hallelujah. Have you ever pondered about the scripture in Matthew chapter 22 verse 14? Matthew 22 verse 14. Matthew 20. It says, for many are called, but the bride is chosen. Verse 14. Only verse 14. Many come to me. I throwed an open invitation, come to me. And many came. But out of the many that come, only few will I take. Hey. May you be part of the chosen few. Jesus is like a king that has many concubines, but has only one queen. The king might have many women for his pleasure, but there is only one woman for his kingdom. That is who the Lord Jesus is. These concubines will receive provisions from the king. They will receive sustenance from the king. But they can never have anything to do with the kingdom. The concubine will not produce the heir apparent. The concubine will not give birth to children that will be called princes and princesses. They are only for the king's pleasure. If the king dies, it is the children of the queen that continues the kingship. The concubines are cast out, or the new king will inherit them. They are objects of pleasure. Brethren, we are speaking of the followers of Jesus. We are saying that among the followers of Jesus, there are many concubines and there is one queen. There are many people following Jesus who will not end up in the kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus, only belongs to the bride, the queen. So we need to know the characteristics of this bride. Don't just open your mouth and say, I am a Christian. I belong to Jesus. It is not enough to pray in Jesus' name. It is not enough to sing gospel songs. What makes you a bride of Christ is more than that. The bride has her characteristics. And we'll see a few of those characteristics this morning. Two things made me laugh this week. The first, I posted the video. For those that I have your number, you see my WhatsApp status. I saw a video that made me laugh. A young man is working in a place, and on his CV, Sister Mary, you are laughing, you commented on that video. On his CV, he puts that he can speak French, and he's already working in that company. So one morning, his boss entered and said, Mike, sure you can speak French. He laughed. Well, you put it on your CV. He said, yes, I can speak French. Bonjour. He said, well, whatever. I don't know. I can't speak that one. We want to employ a man. And he also says he can speak French. We want you to come and interview him. Hey. So, okay. So he said he's coming. The guy was afraid and went there. So he introduced him. Mike, meet Mr. Jude or whatever his name is. Says. He said, bonjour. That one answered onto him. Bonjour. So the guy was afraid. He thought truly the person he wants to interview can speak French. He now did like this. Skeske roboske. That one too now answered. Robo, skeske robo. Maybe somebody did not get it. So that one now did like this. You too now did like this. So both of us are lying on our CV. Then the boss was there and was shaking his head laughing. These two people can speak French. And when I saw the video, It made me to remember those that speak in tongues that is not powered by the Holy Ghost. I will never forget the experience. I went to my pastor and redeemed. I just read the book, The Holy Spirit, My Senior Partner. I hunger for this Holy Spirit. He said, when he comes, he might call me ba, ba, ba. Just keep saying it. And that evening, I went to my closet and I was praying. Father, give me the Holy Spirit. Father, give me the Holy Spirit. Father, Baba. And I said, I've received the Holy Ghost. And that is how many people have received their own Holy Ghost. Now, the second thing that made me laugh this week. How many of us know portable? Even if you don't listen to the song, you read news now. Are you too spiritual that you don't know what? I know many musicians, so I don't know their song, but I read news. I know Spyro. I know Davido. I know Burna Boy. Even if I have not heard their songs, I read news. There's no time you check the headlines, you not see entertainment news. So you must know why, especially to us preachers, we must know what is trending, what is moving the people, so that we can study the spirit behind it and rebuke and correct people not to go that way. I know that the guy is crazy. I have seen him made headlines many times on very stupid things. Even the way he's dressed, you will know that Ele Yawere, with colored and all manner of. So I was so surprised. Last week, a celestial church had a praise night, and part of the musicians was Pasuma and Portable. So before the praise night we hold, I saw when the, whether it's General Shepherd or JG or whatever, people were talking, how can you bring this kind of people for praise night? So I saw the headline again that they corrected that and they canceled it. But to my surprise, just yesterday when I read, I saw that he actually came. I even saw the video. He wore white, holy garments, and Portable was singing in the church on the altar. Praise the living God. You see why we say that not all that follow Jesus will make it to heaven. Are we together? You need to know who the bride of Jesus Christ are so that you can check, am I in that number? Because in the celestial church, they will tell you their Lord is Jesus. They will tell you Jesus is the reason they gather. But will Jesus hold a program? Apostle Paul said, if I build again that thing that I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. I'm pulling people from sin. Then I'm coming to bring a promoter of sin to come and stand on my pulpit to minister. Portable was ministering. So if Portable comes tomorrow and tells you, I am Minister Portable, can you doubt it? He will show you his video where he ministered in a church. Praise God. I'm saying this to let us know that many are called, but only few will go there. Christianity is like a river, a pool of water that has all manner of things. But the fisherman is looking for edible fishes. And those fishes are known by their characteristics. Are we together? Even we as living things, in primary school, they taught us characteristics of living things. Mr. Niger D. They'll tell you as a living thing, you must be able to move, excrete, respirate, reproduce, all manner of things. So living things have their characteristics. The bride of Jesus has her characteristics also. And let's see a few of those characteristics. Number one, the bride of Jesus Christ follow God's provided way, God's appointed way. You can see it on the screen. They follow God's appointed way. For you to understand what I'm saying, let's take a long reading, Esther chapter 2 from verse 1. God has his appointed way. And one of the evidence, one of the characteristics rather of the bride is that they follow God's appointed way. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him,
Let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the keeper, or to the house of the women, unto the custody of Agag, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden, please look at that word, the maiden which pleaseth the king, let her be queen instead of Vashti. And the king, the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew. Let's go down to verse 8. Go down to verse 8. So it came to pass, when the king's commandments and his decree was heard, when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Agag, that as Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Agag, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification. We saw things that belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meant to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people. Verse 11, let's move on. Okay, verse 12. I want us to jump on unnecessary stories. Please pay close attention from verse 12. Now when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were their days for the purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. She went in the evening, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Shahashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Verse 15. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abiel, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, when her turn was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Agag, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, what he did, what he appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken on to the king Ahasuerus, into his house, in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Esther. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Brethren, this is the story of salvation. Esther and the women represent the followers of Jesus. Jesus is looking for a queen that will spend all eternity with him. Jesus is looking for a queen that will answer and bear his name, Sister Jesus Christ. And many maidens were gathered. The Bible said that each one of them chose what they wanted. It was simple. They gathered all of us into the house of a chamberlain whose duty is to prepare a woman for the king. That means he is experienced. He knows the king's taste. He knows what the king wants. He knows how the king wants his wife to appear. It is so simple. All you needed to do was to allow the chamberlain to clothe you and dress you. Hey, I'm talking of Christianity. But instead, you said, no, I think I will dress the way I want. Let the king clothe me the way I want. This is how I want to appear. I mean, let me be clothed the way I want. And the chamberlain did not force himself. The Spirit of God will not always strive with man. Inspection time came, proving time. The maidens came before the king. The king looked at them. You try. It is not a question of beauty. Esther was not the most beautiful. Beauty is not in play. Yeah. Because the Bible says that all the maidens were fair. They were beautiful. It is a question of submission to the chamberlain. The maidens chose their own way to appear before the king. Esther said, no, if you are the king's chamberlain, then you are the best to tell me how to appear before the king. Characteristics of the bride of Jesus. They don't choose their own way to serve God. Whenever you hear anybody make a statement, I know how I serve my God, that person is not the bride of Jesus. I know, leave me, I know the way I serve my God. I know how I serve my God. And you will discover the people that make that statement are people that you are trying to correct about one thing wrong they're doing. That person is evidently telling you, look at me, I'm not a part of the bride. I am a concubine. The bride of Jesus is not called to reason with him. We are called to submit. The chamberlain is the spirit of truth that powers the true fivefold ministry. The chamberlain there, all he's presenting to you is the word of God. The bride of Jesus Christ do not write their own formula for salvation. They submit to God's formula for salvation. So if you say, I am bride, let us know who the bride are. This is a very serious matter. We are not called to serve God the way that we want. Proverbs 16:25 makes it clear. There is a way that seems right in the sight of a man. He said, the end is the way of death. God has called us unto submission and obedience. We are not called to reason with the word of God. The bride of Jesus Christ are those that say amen to his word. Do you know that this was the same thing that disqualified Cain? There's a way we teach by faith. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Then many people don't realize that Cain knew what God wanted. Let's read the story, Genesis 4. If you say he did not know, what of when God spoke to him in verse 7? God said, if you bring the right, will I not accept you? Cain knew, can you see it? If thou doest well, that means there was something to regulate what was right and what was wrong. It was not as if Cain did not know the kind of sacrifice that God wanted. He knew. Cain knew that God needed a bloody sacrifice. He knew. His sin was, no, I want to do it my own way. Let me choose the way I will serve you. That was the sin of Cain. If you say he did not know, even when God corrected him and gave him room for repentance, why did he still choose not to bring the right sacrifice? So this is the same sin. You cannot choose the way you want to serve God. You must submit to the word of God. If you don't have a spirit that is submissive to God's word, you are not part of the bride of Jesus. The sermon is going on now, and I'm almost seeing some faces in the hall. It is where. If you don't have a submissive spirit to the word of God, you are not a bride of Christ. You're not called to reason. The word of God has made it clear, for instance, that water baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you have a spirit that says, no, this is how I want to baptize, you don't input your own formula. No. You don't tell God, this is how I want to serve you. Our duty is, how can I serve you acceptably? That's our question. Not, this is how I want to serve you. If you have a mindset of, this is how I want to serve you, then you are not allowing God to dress you. You are not allowing the Holy Spirit, the chamberlain, to prepare you. You cannot be acceptable by the king. The posture you should take, if truly you are part of the bride, is, how can I serve you acceptably? That is what we saw in the story of David. 2 Samuel chapter 6, we know the story very well. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Let's take it from verse 1. Second Samuel chapter 6 from verse 1.
And again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from the Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon the new cart. Brethren, please, sirs, please, mas, what David is about to do, was he a good thing? No, please answer me now. Daddy, it was a good thing. Thank you, sir. What David was about to do, all the days of Saul, they did not even think of the ark. Now, David has been made king. How can we be calling upon the God of Israel and where is his ark? The symbol of his presence. So he was doing a good thing. Go back to verse 3, please. But David failed to ask the most vital question. How will I bring the ark of God to me? This is the story of many believers. You want to serve God. Fine. You want to serve Jesus. You know you should serve God. Perfect. There should be a follow-up question before you take the next step. The question is, how should I serve God acceptably? Are we together? If sincerity was all that God required, God would have accepted what David was doing. If sincerity was enough, God would not have stopped this revival. Serving God is more than being sincere. You must know his mind before you serve him. I'm sincere. Oh, Jesus. No, I have a new tongues now. You are sincere. But the Bible says they speak as the Spirit gave utterance. You are sincere, yet you are not a fornicator. You are sincere. But you wear your trousers. You don't, in your mind, you don't see anything wrong with it. In your mind, you don't see anything wrong with it. You are sincere. Fine. What does God say about it? Praise God, somebody. We will continue to talk this way. It is what God has called us to do. Because a day is coming that each one of us will face Jesus in reality. Then you will know. You will either be grateful to God that he brought you to a place like this to align you properly with him. Or you will regret and say, had I known. Serving God is more than being sincere. You must know his mind. You must know his appointed way. I will hear some people ask some funny questions. How can you say this person will not be saved because he did not baptize in Jesus' name? But the person repented, was not living in sin, was going to church. Didn't the Bible tell you that the process for your sins to be remitted was repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus? That is God's appointed way. That means no matter the kind of repentance you have, if you don't come under that water in the name of Jesus, your sins are not washed away. So, in God's appointed way, you still have your sins upon you. But yet you are very sincere making sacrifice for God. At the end of it, you wonder, why didn't I make it to heaven? Jesus told them, he said, many will tell me in that day, did I not do this in your name? He did not say they did not. He said, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. What is the iniquity? You didn't follow God's appointed way. That is the iniquity. Serving God is not bread and butter. The bride of Jesus follows his appointed way. This was the same sin that Israel committed. Romans chapter 10 from verse 1 to 3. Why was Israel rejected? The Bible says, I bear them record that I have, verse 2. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. But this their zeal is not according to the knowledge.
knowledge of his appointed way. For they being ignorant of God's appointed way and going about to establish their own way, have not submitted themselves unto God's appointed way. Therefore, God cast them off. If you have decided to follow Jesus, please ask yourself this question. How can I follow him acceptably? So that your labor, your walk with Jesus will not end in vain. Many people's spiritual walk will end in vain. Many will. Many will be disappointed at judgment. Not because they were not good, but because they didn't submit to God's appointed way like Esther did. Somebody shout hallelujah. If you must walk with God, you must agree with his word. Let me say it again. If you must walk, you want to walk with God, you must agree with his word. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So we must follow God's appointed way to be approved by him. If we do not follow his appointed way, we will not be approved by him. Those who don't follow or submit to God's word are not fit for his kingdom. Those who do not submit to God's word, they are not fit for his kingdom. So you want to go to heaven, brethren, follow his appointed way. Follow his word for salvation. Where he says repent, repent. Where he says be baptized, be baptized. Where he says receive the Holy Ghost, receive the Holy Ghost. Where he tells you the evidence of the Holy Ghost, confirm it. Whatever the Bible gives out for your salvation, follow it so that you don't miss his kingdom. Don't just serve God how you feel. I feel, you know, I feel. It will land you in trouble. Your feelings are not required. In the walk with God, your feelings are not a requirement. Pastor, I feel our sisters can start wearing trousers. There's nothing, you know, after all, it is what is in the mind, not what is in the heart. It sounds very logical. It sounds very reasonable. But it is against God's appointed way. Because in God's appointed way, there must be a difference between the gender. I don't have breasts. I cannot breastfeed a baby. You can, sisters. So nature even teaches us that we have different physiques. So how can we now wear the same clothes? Does not nature teach you? Permit me to be a little bit raw. I don't have a O to bring out a child. I don't have a cycle, I have a stick. Our dresses should reflect it. The physique of a man is different from the physique of a woman. For those that are still arguing, what is in dresses, it is an evidence that you are not spiritual. Give a man a baby that you just gave birth to yesterday and tell the, even if it's your husband, tell him to breastfeed that baby for the next 1 year. You reach your puberty, you start menstruating. I reached my puberty, I did not menstruate. Differences in physique, in gender. We might be one in the spirit, but physically, we are not the same. So our dresses are to reflect our gender. You are arguing that man should not wear, a woman can wear trousers. Okay, let all Nigerian men start wearing skirts. It will be a very beautiful sight to behold, right? When you see a man on skirt, you will first laugh because you think the man is being a clown. That's the first thing. No matter how much Brobisky tries to do anything, you know, for him to really succeed, he has to start pumping some hormones. He has to start doing some physical realignment of his body.
Because a man is different from a woman. Why am I saying so? Follow God's appointed way. Don't bring in scientific reasoning to the word of God. Don't bring in scientific reasoning. That is why he said the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. He said it is wisdom to us, but to those that have been saved, it is foolishness. He said the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the sight of God. And that's the reason why many people that are too deep in academic knowledge, they stumble over the simplicity of the gospel. Follow God's appointed way. It is one of the characteristics of the bride. They don't reason the word of God. Somebody shout hallelujah, please. Number two characteristic. They don't follow the traditions of men. It's on the screen. Those points are on the screen in case you want to write them down. They don't follow the traditions of men. Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 15 from verse 1. He warned us of vain worship. Matthew chapter 15 from verse 1. Matthew chapter 15 from verse 1. He says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you people, you say, whoever will say to his father or his mother, this thing is a gift, this thing that would have helped you with is a gift. Verse 6. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made, please, that statement, thus have you made the commandment of God non-effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw near unto me with their mouth. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. They draw me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips. Oh, worship the King. Oh, my Jesus. But their heart is far from me. Hey, in vain do they worship me. Teaching for doctrines, the commandment of men. Somebody shout hallelujah. The bride of Jesus don't follow traditions of men. They don't follow what they meet on ground. They search for the wells of their father, like Isaac. Genesis 26, verse 18. This tradition of men is from two fronts. Isaac digged again. Don't forget that Isaac was not only the child. He was not the only child of Abraham. Abraham had Ishmael, he had Isaac, and he had other six sons from Keturah. So Abraham had sons, about eight sons. But the Bible said that Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines. But to the son of the queen, Sarah, he gave all. Hey, now Abraham is dead. He says, Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. None of the children of the concubines knew what Isaac knew. Even if they knew, none of them was concerned about the wells of their father. For you to know the importance of wells those days, this was a desert land. To see well is like eating a pot of gold. It's like you just discover that where you built your house, there is deposit of crude oil. You know how happy and rich you will become by the time they come and mine that crude oil. That is how important well was. But the children of the concubines had no business with the wells of Abraham. But Isaac did not follow the tradition. That's all they do. Let us continue. Isaac digged the wells of his father. When we talk of the tradition of men, it is both spiritual and natural. Spiritually, this is how
all Christians do it. This is how churches do it. The GO will have a special seat. And then the first lady or mommy GO will have a throne also. And then you cannot see the GO and call him Brother Moses. You have to respect him and call him not just Papa. Eh? You must call him what? His Eminence, the man of the hour, the mighty finger of Jehovah, the armor of Jehovah, the heavyweight champion of the Holy Ghost, our daddy in the Lord, his grace, his holiness, the man that dies with the angels, you will give him a title that is more than Jesus. Honor. That is how they do it. So when the bride of Christ is coming today, they are saying no. The word of God says, brother, sister, you see it? They are not following the traditions of men. Somebody was surprised. He jammed Bright TV. We heard him, Pastor Paul. He came for the camp. And he saw a number. And he called the number. He said, I want to speak with Pastor Moses. Pastor Moses said, you are speaking with him. Said, no, I want to speak with Pastor Moses. No, you are speaking with him. In this generation, tradition of men, you cannot, before you can have access to the GO, you must be given tithes in 7 zeros. 7 zeros, calculate it. What kind of car do you drive? Do you have escorts following you? Traditions of men. Before you can be make a pastor, many of us would not have been pastor in Bride Assembly. Because we didn't go to pastor school, Bible school. And did we go to any Bible school? The only Bible school we went to is the sermon of the pastor we are listening to. Our own study. And then what places us as ministers is the gift that God gave us. But tradition of men. I remember my former church, I wanted to do it. I was already doing School of Disciples. I was praying for direction because I wanted to go to the Bible school. Then God directed me. It was by that direction I got to discover Bride Assembly. So I came to the Bible school. Please put your hands together for the Lord. I came to the real Bible school. Traditions of men. Before any church will baptize you, they will take you through believers' class or catechism. But the bride of Christ doesn't follow any tradition. They follow the commandments. What does hinder me from being baptized? If you believe with all your heart. Bam. No. You must first take them to believers' class. It is a tradition of man. When God calls a man, he calls his wife. He calls his wife to take care of him at home. To give him good home. Not to be co-pastor. That is tradition of man. It is tradition of man to tell you, you see, every believer can speak in tongues. You have the Holy Ghost. You know, Paul said, pray in the Spirit. It is a tradition of man. It is not the word of God. So you see that many people make the word of God of none effect by the traditions of men. It is tradition of man to open a ministry and have branches everywhere. Then they are remitting to the headquarters. You are transferring, promoting. It is tradition of man. It is not a commandment of God. Are we together? So when you are saying, how do I know who the bride of Christ are? They are a group of people that don't follow the traditions of men. Even in this so-called end time message, we are blessed to be in Bride Assembly. Bride Assembly is a church that did not follow any tradition. See all the anointing we are enjoying here. A normal end time message church is as cold as a cemetery. No fire, no single fire. The only fire they have is painted fire. Oh, they make it up. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mommy is smiling. Mommy is an old time end time message believer. Hey, mommy. Mommy, in this Bride Assembly church where you've been for many years and all the places you went to, please, ma, let me ask you a jam question. Tell us the difference.
No comparison, church.
No comparison, church. Let's appreciate the Lord. But if we were following the traditions of men, you would have seen the picture of Brother Abraham. And then one picture that they call the face of Jesus. Hope you know that is not the face of Jesus. Jesus did not allow any man see his face. So that thing that end time message people are promoting, that many of us have as our screensaver, because Brother Abraham said that was a is a lie. Nobody, Jesus did not allow anybody to see his face. And he is already in a glorified state. The Bible says, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Don't look for the face of Jesus. Look for the spirit of Jesus. So forget that picture that they are hanging everywhere and they are telling you face of Jesus. Then you see it at their altar. It is a tradition of man. It is a tradition of man. The liberty and the spiritual grace we enjoy here, that is why they label us all manner of things. They can't produce the life. All they have is to come and repeat what. So when somebody is coming and is questioning what has been on ground, yes, we've been teaching it this way, but let's look at it. This is what the Bible says. That person is not following the traditions of men. Are you seeing it? They will fight you and call you names. They will fight you and call you names. Just like one of the fights going on in Christianity now. I saw one big apostle saying, all these people that preach and call people's names, condemn people, you are not so. No, you must condemn. You are not condemning the man that is going to hell. You are condemning that antichrist action that is displaying. Antichrist is against Christ. When you are walking against the word of God, you are antichrist. So when you are actually rebuking them, you are trying to save them. You are not condemning them. They will fight us. They will say all manner of things. But we don't follow the tradition of men. I just thank God for the kind of pastor I have in this church. Me too, in my little pastoral ministry. How many months? I've heard people come and report that they don't like the way Olumide talks. He's rude when he's preaching, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, Sao. Sorry, ma. I have a commission to preach the gospel. God did not call me to come and pamper you. Oh, you see, God is good. You will make it to heaven. Do like this. I'm called to preach. You didn't call me. Jesus did. Jesus did. And I know what he took me through. So don't. I did not come here by political maneuvering. And people sow that kind of seed of discord. It's wrong. The same sermon that people will comment and say, brother, God will bless you for this. God will bless you for that. Some people pick offense. You they call age. Okay, come stand by me. How many years you collect for my life? How many years you collect? How many years you take senior me? Where person know if you collect you? Don't look at the young boy. Look at the coffee he's occupying. So don't let anybody sow any seed of discord in your heart. There is nobody, forgive me for digressing, there is nobody that can accuse me of being rude to them. I say it openly. Sisters are here, brothers are here. If I've ever been rude to you, disrespected you, outside the pulpit, come and tell me, I will apologize. I respect everybody and I greet them. So anybody sowing that kind of seed of discord in your heart, the person is just angry that there is somebody pointing out his wrongdoing. That's why I made the comment I made this morning. Jesus was 30 years old when his ministry started. Jesus was only 30. He only preached from 30 to 33 before they killed him. So don't come and look at me and tell me I'm too young to preach. You won't close my mouth. I will say it. Sorry, sometimes people should be praying for pastors. It's now that I respect our daddy more. The battles that pastors face, yet they'll come and be leading everybody in worship, smiling. Be praying for pastors. The battles that pastors face. Okay, how do you explain this? That you have a pastor that is teaching us the word of God, telling us how a church is supposed to be. How that, according to the right way to serve God, a prophet should not pastor a church. And you have members of the church that are seated, coming to tell even a new prophet like Prophet Sidney, coming to tell him that, don't let anybody cage you here. Go, don't let anybody cage you. And they are members of the church. How do you explain it? And it is more painful when these people are prominent people in the church. So you as a pastor, what will you do? Go. You don't want to go. Yet you don't agree with me. And you are working against my vision in the ministry.
If you talk of household enemies, that is it. Forgive me, we know what we face. So the bride of Jesus Christ are people that don't follow the traditions of men. Naturally also, and this is where I need to pinch many of us, you must submit your tradition to the word of God. Pastor has said it. It is wrong for you to refer to somebody as Osu. It is wrong for you to say, because this person is not from my place, I can't marry you. You are not walking according to the word of God. Because according to the word of God, there is no Jew or Gentile. There is no slave or free. That same Osu has been washed by the blood of Jesus. So when you have such prejudices in your heart, the traditions of men are still caging you. How can you not relate with me or love me from your heart? Because I'm not from your tribe. How? No justification for it. It is not a character of the bride. So let's check within us. If we still have such prejudices in our hearts, it shows that we are not yet in the number. Parents in this church, we stop their own children. Which tribe is he? You are not marrying him. You will not think of the feelings of the girl or of the young boy. It does not concern you how much they love themselves. The only thing that matters to you is, no. You are too zealous for your tradition that you are very proud to break the word of God. Shame on you. The traditions of men must be brought under the word of God. Praise the living God. The traditions of men must be brought under the word of God. I didn't say you should not follow your culture or tradition. I'm only saying where your culture or tradition comes in conflict with the word of God, drop that tradition and follow the word of God. That is a character of the bride. Praise the living Jesus. They don't follow the traditions of men. Another characteristic of the bride, they know times and seasons. Forgive me for the comments I'm making. Just the kind of arrows that are coming. They know times and seasons. The bride of Jesus Christ knows times and seasons. This is because they have a special grace given to them by God that we call the Issachar anointing. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. What did they do? They had understanding of the times. Hey, to know what Israel ought to do. Understanding of the times. One of the problems that Jesus had with the Pharisees of his day was that they could not discern times. See it in Matthew chapter 16 from verse 1. Matthew chapter 16 from verse 1. Please bear with me. This is the bride's food. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came and tempted him, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. You can give weather forecast. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Hey, brethren, there are times and seasons. Everybody can look out now and see the sun and say, oh, we are in the afternoon. You can discern the face of the sky. Spiritually also, do you know what time it is? Can you tell what the time is, spiritually speaking? That is a grace that only the bride of Jesus Christ have. They can look at events going on in the world. And by the Issachar anointing from the revelation of the word of God, they can tell what time of God's agenda it is. When we say we are in the end time, we are not coming to repeat what somebody has said. See, if you want to be truly anchored in the belief of this church,
Go and do an assignment, an homework. Why do we say we're in the end time? If you're not anchored in it, somebody can come and preach you out of this message tomorrow. You must know why we say we're in the end time, so that when they wake you up, you can tell it's the end time. It is one of the characteristics of the bride. They know what time it is. See an example in the story of Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. By the grace of God, Noah knew something that many people did not know. See something here. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. By grace, go to verse 10. See what Noah knew by grace. Verse 11. I want to pick it up from somewhere. Okay, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh are corrupted its way upon the earth. See, God said unto the bride. You're not getting it. Please put that scripture back. We are reading it. God said unto the bride, Noah was the bride of his generation. The end of all flesh is come before me. It was only Noah that knew what was going on. He said, the end is come. I want to destroy them. I want to destroy the earth. Only Noah and his family knew. Are you understanding times and seasons now? You have revelation that the world is coming to an end. Rapture will soon take place. It is because you are the bride. People that are not the bride, there is nothing like end time in their mind. You are preparing for the coming of Jesus. It is because you are the bride. Those that are concubines, they are not looking for any coming of Jesus. Are you seeing the characteristics of the bride? And what makes you the bride is not going to Bride Assembly Church. There are many concubines of Jesus in Bride Assembly. There are many concubines. And we know them. It is by the same characteristics. Why you are in this church thanking God for bringing you to a place like this? Why you are trying to prepare, allow God to perfect you, remove all works of the flesh, and make you holy and acceptable to his coming? Why you are here and your focus is, when you come to collect your people, remember me, O Lord. Another person is here. There is no end time in his heart. So it is not by coming to Bride Assembly Church. That is why we are saying characteristics of the bride of Christ. Are you seeing it? They know times and seasons. They know what is going on. They know what time it is in God's clock. They know what time it is in God's agenda. They can tell that the world is coming to an end. And just as God told Noah, the only way of escape is to build an ark. God gave him the measurements and dimensions for the ark. So also, the bride of Jesus knows that the only way to escape the destruction that is coming upon this world is to be truly converted, to be truly filled with the Holy Ghost. So only the bride of Christ can tell times and seasons. Others cannot. Somebody shout hallelujah. Can you see why we say we are the bride of Christ? The same thing happened in the days of Lot. Jesus told us, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of Lot. He said they did marry. They gave you marriage. That means life will continue. Things will continue normally. See, forget all this one that something will happen like COVID-19. Everybody will start screaming, end time, end time. No. That is not what causes us to know end time. It is not by a great phenomenon that the whole world is experiencing. That is not what causes us to know the end time. The things that causes us to know the end time are more than that. Because in the days of Noah, it was only Noah that was shouting end time. Everybody continued. Life continued. School continued. Business continued. But at the same time, Noah was secretly building his ark. Because he knew times and seasons. Praise the living God. Do you know times and seasons? If you don't, you are only telling me a message that you are not yet part of the bride. The bride of Jesus knows times and seasons. Look at Genesis chapter 19 from verse 13. It was only Lot, Genesis 19 from 13. It was only Lot and his family that were present that knew that the end time for Sodom had come. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake. See something, this is where I'm going to. Lot had other children apart from the two virgins that were with him. He had other children. He says sons-in-law, so they are more than one. There could be two and above. Which married who? His daughters. These, his daughters, are different from those two daughters that went out of Sodom with him. Hope you know. Ah. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are reading Bible. Now, he went and told his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place. The Lord will destroy it. What did the Bible say? What? It seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. That means they did not have understanding of the times. When we preach, Jesus is coming. The world is coming to an end. The rapture has started. We are like, what are these people saying? Who are these ones? Who are these fanatics? The reason is because we know times and seasons, and they don't. So, characteristic of the bride. One characteristic of the bride of Jesus, they know times and seasons. Are we together? Number four, they are spiritually sensitive. When we talk of spiritual sensitivity, yeah, I'm not talking of, you are sensitive to evil. You are sensitive to a witch. You are sensitive to a witch. Mm-mm. When we are speaking of spiritual sensitivity, you must understand it from Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. We are talking of being sensitive to their spiritual condition. This is Jesus talking. I counsel thee. Take it from verse 17. See it. He says, thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods. I have need of nothing. But you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The problem that Jesus had with these believers was not that they were wretched, was that they did not know. If a man does not know he is sick, how will he ask for help? That is why they keep advising people, go and test for HIV. Go and test for HIV. Because if you don't know your status, if you are positive, if you know you are positive early enough, your life could still be prolonged. The virus will be there, but you will live a normal life. They will place you on drugs that will help you live normally. But by the time HIV turns to AIDS, you've been positive for so long, you did not know. There's a stage it will get to, only a miracle from God can bring you back. So when a man doesn't know his condition, such a man is not sensitive. And that is the problem of Christians in this generation. We are not sensitive to our spiritual estate and condition. If not, like the example I gave, why should you be angry that somebody younger than you is preaching the gospel to you? All you should be concerned about is he saying the truth? Do you know that some people left this church because the message from the pulpit was, let me put it this way, on quote, was insultive to them. It was too, it punched their pride. I know of a young brother and young sister, they don't come here anymore. It is nothing more but pride. Why they left is nothing more but pride. You make a mistake, the pastor comes to correct it, even if he does it publicly, he doesn't call your name. He's doing it so that people will learn from that character and not follow it. Then you get so angry. It is pride. If you are sensitive to your spiritual condition, that is not enough reason to leave a church that the pastor preached to. Who else will he preach? That means if we were in the generation of John the Baptist, many of us here would have stoned him. Because people were coming to John, he was saying, you generation of vipers. Eh? They were coming to John the Baptist and he was telling them, you are snakes. Yeah, Jesus said that of all men, born of women, that is the greatest. Do you know that if Jesus should come back in the 21st century, we will push him out of the church?
it is going on spiritually. Christians are not sensitive. How will that celestial church, if they are spiritually sensitive? Portable is not an icon of holiness. It's an icon of worldliness, of sin. Can you see that the church is so dead that it is such a man that they brought to the pulpit? The bride of Jesus don't do that. We are spiritually sensitive. Many people went for the experience 2 weeks ago. You think it is a spiritual concert. It is not. After they finish singing, you see comedians coming to make jest in the name of the Lord. The way the comedian self is dressed causes you to know that I am coming from the gutter of the world. If you can give me your altar, that means there is nothing holy or special about this place. The bride of Jesus are sensitive spiritually. That is why an individual person, that is a true Christian, individual bride, you are very sensitive about your spiritual condition. That if you start backsliding, you will know. A true brother that is sensitive, he does not wait till he falls into fornication. Once he sees that he is beginning to lust after women, he gets disturbed. He starts checking and starts praying and starts seeing what he will do. But people in this generation, Christian men and women will flirt with one another. If they have opportunity, they will fornicate. And there is nothing affecting them. Lack of sensitivity. Nobody, see, when somebody comes to rebuke you, it's good, it's a privilege. But you too, you should be a little bit, why will I get so down in this estate that I didn't even know I was doing wrong? We must be sensitive. The bride of Jesus are sensitive to what is going on in Christendom today. That the world is in the church now. That people will sing in the nightclub and come and sing at the pulpit. I don't want to call it altar. We are sensitive to know that Christianity today has been abused. So we are on a serious mission to check ourselves, to be sure that we are not stained with the worldly version of Christianity that is being propagated everywhere. Spiritual sensitivity. It is one of the characteristics of the bride. Time will fail me to expatiate on many things. I must finish this message today. We can see another thing another time. They are contenders. Please just give me about 10 more minutes. Let me round up the message. I beg you. I'll jump many points just to give you the keys. Characteristics of the bride. They are contenders. In Jude chapter 1 verse 3, he says we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I don't want to jump something, so. Okay, let's take it. They are contenders. Why are they contenders? They know that the church is a mixed multitude. They know that people are preaching another gospel. They know that what is being shown forth, presented as Christianity today, is not Christianity. So they take a stand against it. They contend for the original truth. How do we contend? We contend by standing for what we believe. We contend by supporting what we believe. We contend by sponsoring what we believe. We contend by letting everybody know the truth. Praise the living God. We contend by the life we live. Apostle Peter told us that you should have a reason to give anybody that asks you the reason why you are appearing the way you are appearing. Sisters, you contend by your dressing in this generation. Because today, sexiness is now beautiful. Sisters must be beautiful. Christianity did not say it should be ugly. But what we are saying is, sexiness is not beautiful. In the dictionary, there are two different things. You cannot dress in a sexually provocative manner and call it beauty. Sexiness is not beautiful.
And being artificial, like a baby doll, is not beauty. God gave you your original beauty. Maintain it. So a true sister who is a bride of Jesus, knowing that the whole world is engulfed in this spirit of sexiness, immorality today, the kind of dress you wear, you are sending a message. I will not wear what will cause my bum bum to show. I will not wear what will be tight. That anytime I move, everybody can see the shape of my bum bum. You are contending. That is how Christian women dress. I will not wear what will cause everybody to see. Some of us will say we are wearing skirts, but the slit is so long that they can see. How can, are you comfortable that I can see your lap? Christian woman. You wear something above the knee. And please, it is not to church only. Oh, may we learn from the Muslims. Regardless of where they are, a true Muslim still has her hijab. She's still covered. She's empty in a bank. Her religion is not thrown away. She declares it to everybody that this is who I am. And we respect them. But a Christian woman, you got a job anywhere, the first thing you will wear, I beg, it's not Sunday. I must wear skirt. You wear the one that is reaching only your knee. And it's tight. And you say you are trying to be... No. You can dress modestly and you are still beautiful. Should I show some people as examples here who are modestly dressed and are beautiful? See my mommy in Badiwe there. Where is mommy in Badiwe? I saw her earlier. Mommy. Where is mommy in Badiwe? Mommy, please. Daddy, allow me to use mommy as an example. Mommy, please be on your feet. Can you see this beauty? Can you see this beauty? She's not wearing anything tight. But our Christian women, many of us, we must wear something that we will appear like hot dog. You know hot dog, the sausage must pop out. The clothes will not be like hot dog. Then you think that is not beauty, that's sexiness. There are two different things. You are not to appear sexy only for your husband in your bedroom. You are to appear beautiful, and modesty is beauty. The bride contend. It is what we do. We contend by the life we live. If everybody in my marketplace will buy China and call it Japan, I will contend by telling my customers, see, oh, this is what they say, but I have to be truthful to you. Now, China, I can guarantee you it will last for 2 years, oh, but now China, that is contending. You don't go with the tide. You stand up for Jesus. That is contending. So contending is not just to start preaching. If you believe that Mary is your God, you go to hell. Contending is not to preach. Pope is Antichrist. There's time for that. Many of us that have done that way, we have even done more harm than good. That's not contending. Pope is Antichrist. Denomination is the devil. There is time to teach the person that. First, contend by the life you live. Everybody in my compound calls me pastor. Not because I've ever preached to them. And it has always been that way since I gave my life to Christ. It is because of a life they live. In fact, since I gave my life to Christ, I've never preached in my own environment, my own locality where I am. But yet, there's always this pastor. I did not come and open Bible to you. Why are you calling me pastor? Not because you saw me preaching, but because of my contending stand. You saw my lifestyle and you say, yes, this must be a child of God. The bride of Jesus contend. Praise the Lord. You can take down Jeremiah 35, the sons of the Rechabites, how they contended. Finally, so that I can end this message, the bride of Jesus, their goal for being in Christ is eternal life. Point six. We cannot see it to IT. Why not make it big so that everybody can see it? Their goal for being in Christ is what? Eternal life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Don't worry, we are rounding off. 1 Peter 1, verse 9.
First Peter 1 verse 9. It says what? Receiving the end. Receiving the end of your faith. The reason you are a Christian. The end result, the whole purpose of being in Christ is what? The salvation of your souls. See 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19. What does it say? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have what? The bride of Jesus Christ are people who are eternally minded, eternally bound, heavenly minded people. They are heavenly minded. They come to Jesus not for bread and fish, but for the living waters. They come to Jesus. They are not looking for Jesus just because they want to be something on earth. The main reason they are following Jesus is for eternal life. So such a people, no matter what comes their way, their faith is not wavered. Is it such a people that we have problem with the pastor that is preaching? But there are people that all they come to Jesus. There are many, some of us here, we are here for protection. You know that there's a grace in this ministry. Once I hide here, I'm protected. If that is why you are coming to Christ, you are not yet a bride. If all you are coming to Jesus for, see, God makes a beggar a king in Bride Assembly Church, and that is the reason you are coming. That is all the purpose you are in Christ. Mm-mm. Yes, nobody comes to Jesus and he doesn't take care of you. How do I know? When Jesus blessed 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it was not the people that asked him. They did not go and meet him. We are hungry. He had compassion on them. He knows our need. Do you get it? You can't come to Jesus. You are following him, seeking his kingdom first, and he will allow your life to be miserable. It's a lie. If you are experiencing wretchedness, it is for a little while. He knows our need. Yet, he said, seek ye first the kingdom. So the bride of Jesus Christ are people that put, they are kingdom-minded people. When they're in church, they are coming to work with them. Their reason for coming to church is how they can be better spiritually. How they can know God more. How they can serve him more. Like I said, someone is going on. I noticed that some people went out of the auditorium. But you are seated here. Some people are probably watching us now. They've turned off. But when we start music, they'll start dancing. Where a man's treasure is, that is where his heart will be. So the bride of Jesus Christ are people that are heavenly minded. Eternal life is their focus. I need not talk further. All I've been trying to say for this past hour is that these are some of the characteristics of the bride of Jesus Christ. If you lack these characteristics, it simply means to me that you are not yet part of the bride of Christ. You might be a bona fide member of Bride Assembly Church, but if these characteristics don't reflect in your life, please, brother and sister, check yourself. Mommy and daddy, check yourself. If these characteristics don't reflect in you, you are not yet a part of the bride. Then this rapture we are talking of is far from you. May your faith not be in vain. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10, what does it say? That's the final scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. To do what? To make your calling and election sure. You say you are bright, ensure that the characteristics of the bride are seen in you. Shall we bow our head for prayers? In my life, come and take
Your place. Ask the Lord to help you.
Come your place, Lord.
Talk to him.
Your place, Lord.
Help me. I want to be in that number, saved by grace. Name of prayed. If you are not angry with me, can you clap for Jesus? You are not angry with me. Praise the Lord, though.